Salford City Radio. The sound of the city. Bringing our community together.
Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
94.4 FM. Salford City Radio.
Hello and welcome to Salford City Radio. I'm Jill Bowyer and I've got Sue Sutton with me.
Hi everyone, and it's great to be back. I'm Sue Sutton, Chief Executive of Salix Homes, and I'm sure some of you out there are our tenants. We own and manage 8,000 properties in the central Salford area. So good to have you, whether you are our tenant or not. So, great to be back and look forward to answering some more questions from customers and sharing some of the latest news from Salix.
So what have we got this week, Sue?
Okay, so just a few updates before we get started on the questions, I think. If you remember last time, for those who tuned in, I was joined in the hot seat by Jim Battle, the chair of our board. And as we were kind of starting the recruitment for Jim's replacement at that point, because he reaches the end of his term in September. And Jim's been great for Salix, very people focused, and really kind of helped and guided us, I would say, but, you know, on over the last 6 years as a board member and as the chair of the board. But unfortunately, his term of office is up, so he has to stand down in September. However, I am pleased to say we've appointed Martin Warhurst to the role of chair. Martin already sits on our board, hasn't been on our board for long, but brings with him wealth of experience, and we're really confident in Martin's abilities to lead the organisation really on the next leg of the journey. So, fantastic, and really pleased we've got Martin. Martin will pick up the reins in September, and hopefully we can maybe convince him to join us on the airwaves at some point as well, so people can meet him. Martin will be out and about on our next Everybody in the Office and Everybody Out on the Estate Day, our win days. So Martin will be joining us, and Jim. Jim's coming to say bye. Martin's coming to say hello. Hopefully some people will get to meet Martin when we're out and about.
Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
And just a few things really for the board. And, you know, as Martin takes up the reins, so our board will, over the next year, will be focusing on making sure the customers continue to be at the heart of everything we do and listening to what they have to say about our homes and our services. And I will come on to that in a bit more detail in a second. Exploring opportunities for developing new homes in Salford, ensuring we're continuing to invest in our homes so that they're safe and well-maintained. And we've got some really big investment schemes. I think we spoke about it last time on two of our high-rise blocks, but millions and millions of pounds going in there to kind of make them more energy efficient, warmer, safer. So we will be continuing to do that. And that, some housing associations in the past have been criticised for spending more money on new developments and not on existing homes. And our board are very clear. We continue to invest in our homes, and it's probably more important to us than building new, although, you know, massive housing shortage. So we need to play our part in developing and building new.
Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
Sustainability, I think, will be another kind of key focus for the board, particularly improving the energy efficiency of new and existing homes, and following our roadmap to net zero. And we have a target to be a carbon neutral organisation by 2038. Very challenging. You'll also remember, though, on a previous show, I mentioned we were about to go through an inspection. And that inspection is by the regulator of social housing. So that's where they come on site. They will speak to the executive team, the board, our customers. Probably a little bit like an Ofsted inspection at schools. They've changed the way they inspect, if you like, this year. So new standards got brought into play. So previously when we've been inspected, which is roughly every 4 years, they looked at our governance structures and our board and made sure that everything was above board, and board got assurance about things that matter really when you're running a business. They'd also then assess your financial viability. This one was different. This one, they were also giving us they were inspecting us on what we call consumer standards. And those standards are all about the quality of the housing, the services we provide to customers, safety, transparency, how we kind of get information out to people, how we treat customers as well, fairness and respect, what we know about our customers, what we know about our properties. So we were in the first quarter of this new type inspection. So we were not only getting a judgment on our governance and our financial viability, but we were getting a kind of judgment on our consumer, so a C rating. We maintained our G1 status, which is the best you can get for governance. We maintained our V2 status, which is a financial viability rating. And that's all to do with how much money we have, what we invest, what headroom, capacity we've got and all of that. And we didn't expect to be anything other than a B2. But what we are really, really pleased, proud, excited about, really, was we achieved a C1 rating, the highest rating you can get, really. And we genuinely didn't go into it wanting to prove we were a C1. I think we went into it saying, this is what we do, this is how we do it, speak to our customers, see what they think. But we did, we got a C1, which I think is about 5 in the country.
It's fantastic.
So far. And I've said this to our colleagues, our people who work for us and stuff. The executive team got grilled on, you know, what we do and what we don't do. And we could only showcase the work, what everybody does on a day-to-day basis. So we might be in the face of the inspection along with our board and some of our customers, but actually it was about our people and the job they do. Yeah. So fantastic achievement, and yeah, well done. Hopefully that will give our customers some assurance around kind of we're doing the right thing.
Yeah, well, it should, shouldn't it?
But I will say, you know, I will say, and I always say, we don't always get it right, but you know, if we don't, let us know.
Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
So yeah, that's great news, that's where we are. So, okay, so on to the questions. So we have had a few questions this time. So the first question we've had, question has come in from someone at one of our sheltered schemes, and it was passed on to one of our caretakers at the scheme. So customer said, I've listened to Sue and Jim on their show with Salford Radio. A lot of good points have been explained. My question is on behalf of tenants who tell me they want the wardens back. So those who don't know what that means, really, or we've got 7, we call them sheltered schemes, but actually they're over 55s, independent living schemes. They used to have an on-site warden, I would say on-site manager, but they were affectionately known as wardens, really. And those wardens used to be part funded by Support and People funding. Unfortunately, it was withdrawn in 2015, 2016. So the cost of the service then had to be passed on to customers, which was really difficult. And people, you know, people who live in those schemes really valued the warden and had that kind of assurance that someone was there on site. And there was, you know, there was some other things, really. The withdrawal of the Support and People Fund had prevented the continuation of, I suppose, and there's probably lots of public service stuff, you know, you could say was affected by cuts at the time. So what we did, we looked at the cost, we looked at how we could make it work, and, you know, we have to be careful because people's rents generally probably wasn't the right thing to do to subsidise. So we consulted with everybody who lived in our sheltered schemes and worked out if we had to pass that charge on to those customers, how much that would be. And it was quite a significant amount, really. We presented a number of options, levels of service to customers, and as part of the consultation, the option to continue with the sheltered warden service was just deemed too expensive for people. So what we did, we introduced varying levels of service for tenants and the tenants could choose from. So it wasn't a one-size-fits-all. And it was about individual choice, the level of kind of service or the level of care people felt they needed as well. And that includes things like a daily phone call to check in, just to make sure people are okay, accessing the care on call service, which is 24/7 emergency monitoring and response, kind of where you have a button or a cord to pull. If you've opted in for the call on a daily basis, or the I'm okay button, we call it. If Care On Call don't get any response, they will contact us and we'll come out and visit people. So a lot of people chose that option, really. You know, that's not to say I understand people's concerns and upset at no longer having wardens, because we do appreciate how they were valued at our sheltered schemes. And I'm not going to sit here and say we'll bring the wardens back. But however, we are in the process of reviewing our older persons' housing provision just to make sure it's still fit for purpose. Our sheltered schemes are quite old and probably very small as well in comparison to what people might need now. We do have an ageing population. People's needs are very different to probably what they were when they even moved into the sheltered schemes when they were first built. So we obviously have to ensure that the homes we're providing are suitable for people's needs today. We actually don't struggle to let our sheltered schemes. So, you know, it's not like there isn't a need there. But sometimes I wonder if that's because there's no other choice as well. So, I do wonder if there was lots of other choice, would that still be the case? So we are looking at what our future older person's housing might look like. And that's all about having space, capacity, wheelchair usage and all those things so that people can stay in their own home for longer, I suppose. So we've recently submitted a planning application for a new type of housing development for older people. And that's on our Arrow Street estate. We've been working with NHS Greater Manchester, it's Salford City Council, and it's going to be a 69 homes sustainable scheme. Hopefully that will reduce bills and stuff, so energy efficient. But what we're also looking to do is have a doctor's surgery on the ground floor. So that there's facilities there where people can use. And that hopefully that will be a kind of blueprint for the future for us as well. This one should unlock a pipeline then. So planning permission has been submitted. We're having some conversations with Homes England about funding, because we can get funding for new homes. And obviously, you know, we want to provide modern, desirable, comfortable and sustainable social housing, really better meets the needs and aspirations of older people. It will be a passive house design, so it'll mean that the homes are super energy efficient, helping residents to save on bills whilst enjoying a healthier environment. And that will mirror the scheme that we, I think I spoke about it last time when it was on, that we launched on Chapel Street. And that's just a general needs scheme, but we want to replicate that in some of our older persons' housing as well. The inclusion of the GP surgery on site probably further underpins our commitment to working collaboratively with the health sector. It's very important to us, hopefully, you know, to support people's well-being and develop future-proof homes that will enable people to live independently for longer and reduce pressure on the NHS, actually. And also, I think there may be opportunities for some people, if they choose to do so, who might be living in a 3-bed, 4-bed house on their own, and, you know, they wouldn't want to move out because there's nowhere nice to move to, you know. So why would you give up a family home or a home with plenty of space to move into a very cramped unit, maybe? Hopefully with this new approach, that might free up some family homes, which are really, really much needed, I would say. I will just like to kind of take it back to the wardens, I suppose. Why we don't have wardens on our sheltered schemes. We've previously talked about our new neighbourhood teams. I've talked about it on the radio. And hopefully our sheltered residents will be seeing more of their neighbourhood officer and kind of, you know, more visibility. And the aim is for everyone to know who the housing officer is, see a familiar face. We've got surgeries in our sheltered schemes which people can drop in and out and ask questions. You can also keep up to date with any information we have on our website or Facebook page. Our surgeries are advertised on notice boards and in communal areas. If you're not sure who your housing officer is, please get in touch and we can let you know who they are and how to contact them. But I would like to think that every housing officer has been to a sheltered scheme, so people will know who they are. So hopefully that's answered the question. I absolutely can't sit here and say we can fund wardens. Things change in the future, yeah. Then obviously we will let people know.
Your community radio station, 94.4 FM. This is Salford City Radio.
Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
The next question, which I think is a really important question, and one that we take very, very seriously as well, and I'll explain why as I go. This question's about, and we've had quite a lot of questions and comments, particularly from customers living in our high-rise blocks, about the risk of e-bikes. E-bikes and scooters are soaring in popularity. You'll know that, you'll have seen them. They're a cheaper and greener mode of transport, and we are seeing more of our tenants owning and using them. They're very popular with delivery drivers, and you will see a lot across the city kind of making food deliveries and stuff. E-bikes and e-scooters are powered by rechargeable lithium-ion battery packs. The batteries are used safely in everyday devices that most of us own, watches and laptops and mobile phones, etc. So batteries themselves are not necessarily the issue. The problem arises in non-standard or faulty batteries, and they're not being charged safely. There's a major fire risk when overcharged, short-circuited or damaged. And when they do catch fire, the consequences are absolutely devastating. And, you know, for anyone who knows us as an organisation, we do take building safety very seriously. Most e-bikes and scooters on the market in the UK, both reputable manufacturers, meet the stringent fire regulations. But many of the safety issues are arising from converter kits which are bought online and the non-standard battery packs designed to convert a standard bike to an e-bike. That's the issue. There are growing concerns about these converter kits that are sold cheaply online, which do not meet UK safety regulations and present an increased fire risk. So they are an issue. We know they're an issue if these converter kits are bought. So, and it, you know, it is an issue that kind of hits close to home for us. And the day after Boxing Day in 2022, we had an e-bike related fire in one of our high-rise blocks, Mulberry Court. And you know, anyone who works for Salix, regardless of whether you're the chief exec or not, with 20 tower blocks in Salford, it is a phone call that all of us absolutely fear. And I can remember now what I was doing, where I was when I got that call the day after Boxing Day, that one of our tower blocks was on fire. That was caused by a pack, a converter pack that was bought online. And at the height of the incident, and I do remember driving around the corner onto Salford Precinct where the fire was on in one of the blocks, and your heart sinks. There were six fire engines, dozens of fire faces. It was awful, it was horrible. Thankfully, no one was hurt. And several floors were safely evacuated, fire crews successfully extinguished the fire, and it was contained in the flat where it started. And that's really important, that, because no smoke escaped to the flat next door or the communal area. So that meant that, you know, our property was doing its job properly. Since the Grenfell Tower tragedy, which everyone well aware of, horrendous day in 2017, Salix Homes carries out extensive building and fire safety improvements across all of our tower blocks in Salford. And no one, you know, ever wants to test the fire safety measures in a real life situation. However, as I've just said, I think that flat performed exactly how it should have, the block did, and it was the ultimate test, not one I'd want to repeat. It was obviously reassuring to see that things performed as they were meant to. However, as I've said, it was started by an e-bike fire that had been charging in the bedroom, and it is a new and growing risk, so I do understand people's concerns. And just to put it into some kind of financial context as well, and not that I would ever put financial above safety, but the damage to that flat probably cost us about £150,000 to put right. It was absolutely, I can't begin to tell you, it was just, everything was just burnt. And I think we've done a lot to campaign around this, but I think people just fully understood the impact of it. So we have launched our own e-bike safety campaign for residents in Salford to warn them of the potential dangers and provide guidance. to ensure that, you know, they are being charged these e-bikes safely and responsibly, includes not charging them when you're asleep. This happened when someone was asleep. Never blocking escape routes and all of those things, and only buying from reputable manufacturers. Ultimately, obviously, stronger regulations needed on the sale of these, and while we can't just ban them, remember it's also the same story of a battery you'd find in a mobility scooter. So we're doing what we can to kind of educate residents on the safety of those. Mm. We've added a clause into our tenancy agreement that if you live in a block of flats, you must obtain Salix's permission in writing to keep an electric bike within your flat or any enclosed area. If anybody sees them and you think we need to know about them, then please phone us. You can tell us in confidence. Housing officers do a monthly block inspection now. We do check for e-bikes as part of those kind of safety checks, and we speak to residents about the hazards. And just by way of further assurance, when we had that fire back at Christmas 2022, we found another 3 bikes on that same block that we confiscated. There's posters up in all the blocks and the shelter schemes about the hazards associated with e-bikes and mobility scooters. I fully understand that people will say, we've got nowhere to store our mobility scooters, because I'm guessing that will be a question that comes from this today. I think any future developments, we will be looking at how we make provision for those scooters. It's difficult to do it in existing buildings. Mm. We just need to be mindful, I think, of the safety. We're introducing e-bike safety as part of our fire safety training for housing officers, and we're looking to do kind of wider safety campaign with other housing associations and the fire service across Greater Manchester. I think what I would like to reassure our tenants is that we do take building safety very seriously, and a particular passion, if that's what you want to call it, of mine, because I would never want to see another Grenfell ever. No. We've got a dedicated building safety team and a team of property safety officers, so you've probably seen those people around the blocks. And they are familiar faces for our high-rise customers. They'll answer questions. They'll often go in and do safety checks on homes. If you've got any issues at all, then please just give us a shout. We want our customers to feel safe in their homes. So, you know, I would say to people, if you do have a building or a safety concern, please, please report it to us.
Let's talk housing with Salix Homes on Salford City Radio.
One final question that came in, really, and hopefully I can reassure the person who sent it in that it's been addressed. So the question was around the Hive building. So this is a building owned by us that is a shared accommodation facility. So it's owned by Salix, needs all its trees cut back. The houses are having all the trees coming in and hanging over into the gardens, creating a shelter for drug users. Most of the elderly are scared to walk down a once pleasant shortcut. So the Hive building is kind of on one side. Then we've got some houses and there's a walkway through it. So some of the trees were our responsibility, some weren't. There was rubbish. In order to just kind of resolve the issue, we've cut the trees back, we've cleared all the rubbish. The walkways are now, I've seen pictures of them, so hopefully customers who are using the walkways will see that the issue has been addressed. And I've asked the team to keep an eye on it. And, you know, sometimes you can get into whose responsibility it is and whose it isn't, but actually sometimes you just need to do the doing, don't you? So hopefully who sent the question in see that that's kind of been cleared and it is safe for people to walk down. That's it really from me today. Just would like to thank you all for listening, and please, if you have any questions, maybe submit them for the next show via our Facebook page, website, or by emailing marketing@salixhomes.co.uk, and I will speak to you next month.
Well, thanks very much, Sue. Thank you.
Thank you.